Just a warning, prior to recording the podcast, Steve made the wise and wonderful decision to take a sleeping pill. You'll notice as the podcast progresses, his cognitive skills lapse, mainly his ability to talk properly. So just a word of warning. But I do hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome back to the Film Reel cast. It's a Wednesday, which means we're going to have some amazing feature film, some blockbuster to talk about, review, and just worship. Or we could be reviewing 2006 Crank with Jason Statham. We don't know. I need my wonderful guests, as usual, my lovely co-hosts. I have Steve. How are you doing?
Hi, Stu. I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Amazing to have you back, mate. Is everything good in your life?
Spiffing.
Was that until I said we're doing Crank this week?
yeah, pretty much.
Fantastic. And we've allowed her back on the podcast after the disastrous fucking choice. That was the cult of Chucky. We have the amazing Countdown Kelly. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Thank you very much for asking. It's what a wonderful day. Talk about such an amazing film. I'm just so excited. I really, really am.
I can feel it.
I know. So who had seen Crank, which is currently on Netflix at the moment in the UK? Who'd seen it before the podcast?
I actually haven't.
No, me neither. You know my answer.
Blimey. So it's just me. Yeah, I'm sorry about this. Do you know what? In a twisted way, I really like this film. And I will justify it why I like it. And it isn't anything to do with the acting. But this is Jason Statham's... I think this could be his third time on the Film Reel cast. I think so. And he's always welcome addition, isn't he?
I'm a big fan of Jason Statham. I've made like no secret of that before. I've got a book with me today. And it's just full of facts about Jason Statham because I love him so much. We mentioned him recently on a podcast, and I did say that I was a big fan.
I've
just got pages of pages and pages of Jason Statham facts.
I didn't know there was that many facts about him. Tell me some facts then.
I'm going to start off with the most commonly known one, that Jason Statham was a competitive diver.
He was.
And everyone should know that fact. So we'll start off with that one. If at any point throughout the podcast you just want another fact, just stop what we're doing. Just ask me and I'll look through my book and I'll just pull a random fact out for you all.
Yeah, I will do. I will do. For those my age, who's very old, you're kind of the Norris McWhirter of the podcast. He was on Record Breakers and will come up with the various world records that people were trying to break and people who actually currently held them. And he was a very, very intelligent man, even though he read most of actually what he was saying. He didn't know it for himself. But you are the Norris McWhirter, in that case, of the podcast, of different facts. Give me another fact now. Go, Steve.
Jason Statham is not afraid of water because he was a competitive diver.
Is this going to be diving-themed?
No, this is Jason Statham's themed facts.
I've got the one that's going to be Jason Statham didn't mind heights because he dived.
That was my next fact, but you've ruined it now.
Just give me some coke, okay? You got any coke?
Jason Statham is, I think, and I can safely say, the English kind of Chuck Norris, isn't he?
That is quite the comparison. Chuck Norris can do incredible things. Jason Statham can only do competitive diving.
He does it well. And he does a really... Do you know, in this film, I was really pleased that he just does his normal accent. And I know we're kind of off the back of Lock, Stock, where he was like very, very famous and it kind of got him known as a household name. And he did the Transporter films in 2002, 2005. And then they took off and I don't like the Transporter films, I've got to admit. And then he did Crank in 2006. And unbelievably, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm fucking damn sure I'm going to see Crank High Voltage that was made in 2009. I mean, I was left wanting more at the end of this. I'm already kind of got my place booked to watch Crank High Voltage. I bet you guys are just frothing, aren't you?
Is this your way of saying next week we're doing Crank 2?
I honestly don't know, because I've not actually looked to see where it's available, but I know damn sure that Kelly today was like really chomping at the bit to do it. I mean, she slipped off her chair twice when she was talking about it.
Just because I didn't know where the seat was, nothing else.
Yeah, that's because you're clumsy. It's like when you try to charge the electric car with the capsule on the end, and whilst you were doing it, you were talking about how helpful you was.
It was helpful. It said you need to take the cap off to be able to charge it. If you didn't already know that.
Yeah, it's kind of really like remedial, bring someone to work day that I'm not going to talk about. But you definitely tick that box today.
You're kind, thank you.
That's my pleasure. Favourite Jason, it's going to be a really hard ask for you, Kel, because you, as I say, on most podcasts, you've only just discovered the invention of TV and film. But your favourite Jason Statham film, this is probably going to be it, isn't it? It's the only one you've seen, I should imagine.
Well, it's the only one I've seen, so it'll have to be this one, because I have no point of reference. To be fair, his acting was shite, so I can't say it was great, but I have no other reference, so...
I just love the fact that if you were talking to someone, they went, do you know, I saw Jason Statham film the other day. It's really good. Kel, what's your favourite Statham film? You'd have to say Crank, and they would all fucking gun you off massively.
Like you're about to.
Okay, if you want. Steve.
Yeah, there we go.
What would yours be, mate?
Spy. I know it's not his film, but he's in it, and I think... It just takes the piss out of himself a bit, and I like it.
He does in that, actually, yeah. I do like him in that. It's probably the funniest I'd say he's been in any film, isn't it?
Yeah. He definitely steps out of his typecast for that one film, and then whenever the last Expendables came out, he jumped straight back to his usual role.
Yeah, and even he admits he doesn't do comedy at all. And he admitted it in this film when he's interviewed, when they tried to do the comedy bits. And it did make me laugh when you go through some of the facts that it says Jason Statham. I feel like I'm taking over from you now, Steve. Can I apologise and just give a few facts out? Is that okay? I'm not going to spread on your toes, am I?
Yeah, I don't think they'll be the same facts that I've got. You do you.
Oh, that is a relief. Brilliant. Statham initially had reservations about accepting the role of Chev Chelios, mainly due to him not believing himself particularly funny. In response to this, directors Brian Taylor and Mark Neverdeen told him simply to play the role straight and let the dialogue be funny. Does that mean the script is really shit and people all laugh? That's kind of between the lines what I see there.
Yeah, I think they're hoping that the jokes will... like almost tell themselves without having to be delivered with too much effort.
Yeah, so the script is shit and people laugh. So just act.
Yeah.
And this is one that I don't know whether to believe, because obviously it's on IMDb, and you may know better to this because you may have kind of been in this kind of arena, Kells. But in the public sex scene, all non-actors' reactions to the scene were genuinely real because they didn't expect this to happen. It just came out of the blue. Do you believe that?
What, that they didn't plan it for the non-actor people?
Yeah, all the people watching were just literally came across this and they gathered around as a crowd while Statham and Amy Smart were going for it.
No, I don't believe that.
No, I don't believe that. I think if people were doing what they were doing, surely, I mean, I don't know, America might be different, but surely someone would kind of intervene, wouldn't they, or do something. I just don't believe that.
Well, it started off basically with her, with him assaulting her, yeah. And he was literally forcing himself on her. So if they were random people who didn't know what was going on, surely someone would try and beat the shit out of him for doing Jason what Statham. He was doing to her.
Maybe
I don't
like...
give a flying fuck. Somebody would surely step in or phone the police or not just stand there and laugh.
But maybe they were like, wow, Jason Statham, the diver who's not frightened of going underwater and loves heights.
I highly doubt that, but you never know. I could be wrong. It's been known to happen before.
Has it?
Very rarely, and I'll never Jesus. Admit it. I'd not when it happens.
What, sex in public?
That happens rarely.
Blimey, I can't wait to get to that scene later on then, because we'll be talking to you for sure. But apparently Jason Statham did all his own fight and car stunts, which I kind of believe, because there's not really that many, is there?
It's all quite level ground, isn't it? Like a
It
lot of
is.
running.
I don't believe he did the motorbike one. That wasn't him. I honestly don't believe that.
Or when he was
But
stood up on it.
yeah, that's just absolute nonsense. There's no way he did that.
Nah.
But the budget for this film is 12 million, and it made grossed. It actually beat the film we did last week, which, oh my God, what film did we do last week? It was The Perfection, which is a good film. Podcast is very, very good. It made 42 or nearly 43 million this film. So all in all, it's a success, which no surprise. In the end, they bleed everything dry and it led to a Crank High Voltage in 2009. I've not looked at that and I don't know how much that one made, but from what I'm aware of, there wasn't a number three made. So it can't have done that well, could it?
No, but maybe he went on to bigger budgets and bigger things.
Yeah, he was kind of getting to be a, I don't know if you could say an A-list. I think in this kind of genre of film, he's like an A-list, but you kind of put him like Tom Hanks is like an A-list actor, and Tom Cruise, God bless his, God, amazing man, Tom Cruise. But where would you put him? A C? A D? I don't think he's even a B, to be honest.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah.
I'd put him like a C, between a B and a C.
So like a C plus.
Or a B sharp if you want to get musical.
Or A minor. Or a semi quaver. There you go.
Oh,
I
very
know.
good.
But where would you put him, Kel? You know who he is now, obviously.
I mean, I know who he is, but I don't really have any like reference for him, so I'm going to go with a straight C because I have no idea.
I kill people.
But for those lucky enough to have actually skipped this on Netflix, the story is very, very simple. Poisoned by the potent and deadly mix of synthetic drug called a Bayesian cocktail, for getting in the way of the triads, British hitman Chev Chelios. What a name. Chev. It's got to be, he can't be like Wayne or Barry or something like that. It's always these flash names, isn't it? But Chev Chelios has less than an hour to live. With the drug in him, he needs to keep his heart rate and adrenaline up, and which is going through his bloodstream at a high dose. This deadly toxin is going to kill him, and the clock is ticking. Chelios races across the city streets in search of an antidote, which is never really a mention of an antidote. He mentions that more than everyone else. After criminal Ricky Verona, who wants to exact his revenge, who's responsible for the deadly toxin in his system. All the way along to boost his heart rate, Chelios picks fights with drug dealers and murderers and assassins just to keep his heart rate up until he can get his revenge in one of the most stupid endings I've ever seen and witnessed on any podcast we've done. It's absolutely terrible. And when I watched it today, I was angry. It made me angry. That's how bad it is, isn't it?
What, the ending?
Mmm.
The
It
ending is, should we get to the ending when we get to the ending and not just
just,
about
oh,
kind
it's
of too early?
so annoying. The cast in this really is pretty fucking straightforward, to be honest. There's nothing much to it. You've got the Stafe himself as Chev Chelios, even. And you've got Amy Smart, who always plays a bit of a ditzy blonde in, I think it's Road Trip, and she's in a lot of like the scary movie films as well. She plays Eve, who's the girlfriend. You've got Carlito, who plays one of the drug barons. And Jose Pablo Cantillo, who's always plays a cartel member. Anything he's in, he plays a baddie. He's Verona, our big bad. You've got Kalo, who I thought would have more of a part. He's a bit of a mate of Statham's. And you've got Doc Miles and Don Kim, who makes a kind of appearance, but he is integral to the plot part to a certain extent. And I didn't, when I first watched this film, I wondered what it would be like, because it wakes up with kind of a Jason Statham point of view, waking up in his own apartment, and it goes on for about a minute. And I kind of thought, fuck, are they trying to kind of do something different here? And this whole film is going to be like a POV from Statham. Did you think that at all?
I cannot stand filming in this angle. I can't. If it had been like that, I wouldn't have been able to watch it. It makes me like motion sick. Can't watch it.
No, I was quite worried about
Hate
that.
it.
Yeah, it's just not a good view. It's like the Blair Witch Project, isn't it? It just they throw it around
Yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah, I can't do it. It just, you don't get to see much of what's going on. because whatever he's concentrating on, you're not. It's not where you would look. It's just awful.
Completely agree. And he does wake up and he finds a DVD with, I do like the fact he finds a DVD with the word like fuck you written on it. That did make me chuckle. And that's when we meet our big bad, the plot driver in this, Verona. He clearly fucking hates Statham and that he's injected this Beijing cocktail. And the idea, as I said in the synopsis, is that his adrenaline has to be, it's like speed, where the bus has to go at a certain speed over 60 miles an hour, that his adrenaline has to be going for him to stay alive.
I just fucking killed you. You try not to embarrass yourself.
Candid camera. Oh, is this shit right here I gave you? This is some high-tech sci-fi Chinese synthetic bullshit. I don't exactly what the fuck is in this shit, dude. All I know is that once this shit has binded with your blood cells, baby, and believe me, it's done binded. Yeah, you got yourself about an hour max.
And he's done this just to get revenge because Statham's a hitman and he took out Don Kim and he just wants to get him back. There's no real mention of an antidote, I don't think, is there?
No, it's all very vague. The movie in general is just quite vague just to keep the action going and not get tied down with too much plot. I don't mind it, but it would have been nice if there was more stakes knowing there was an antidote.
Yeah, and I do like the fact of the overacting of Statham as when he watches the video and learns that he's fucked and they've got kind of cameras around. And even though he kind of is very antagonistic, Verona, to Statham. And I do like the banter between them both throughout the film. But Statham's overacting once he learns he's been poisoned and he starts smashing his TV up. It's fucking ridiculous. There is no need for it, is there?
Yeah, he doesn't need it, so he might as well smash it up now. He's going to die. So wouldn't you be angry?
I wouldn't think about smashing a TV up, but I'd just be thinking, oh, fuck, this is just really bad. I must do something. And he just does it. I just overacting. It's just nonsense. And he doesn't even know yet that he's got to get his adrenaline going, so he can't even use that as an excuse. For me, it kind of thought, oh, God, this is going to be really hard work. But I was relieved he did his own English accent rather than the one he does now, like in The Beekeeper, where it's American English goes in and out all the time, and it's just really annoying to listen to, isn't it?
This shit right here is some hardcore shit. It's made from plant shit.
We are introduced, however, back to this film, to Kalo. And you like Kalo, Kel, don't you?
Yeah, I think he's funny. He added a little bit of comedy to it, which I appreciated.
I like that. When he said, where were you last night? And it goes to the scene where he cross-dressed in the club and he's properly doing shapes. And he just loves it. Yeah, I thought he was quite an interesting character. I was gutted that he died.
Yeah, I'll agree on that. He was probably the only character I got somewhat invested in. His little, flamboyant mannerisms.
He reminded me of you, Steve.
Why?
It just did. And just when we went out that night, you just kind of had the same vibes, had the same excitement, you know?
What you were going to tell anyone about that night?
You looked amazing. That crop top was so good. Enough belly button, not too much. Teasy, not wanted more.
There's a lot of belly button. That's a lot of belly button.
You just did so, so well.
Yeah, but Keith in the corner kept buying me shots to drink out of my belly button. So
I know. You did so well that night. I don't think you actually bought a drink.
No, I didn't.
And it's weird. Some people said that you were a tight cunt, but I said, no, it's just because you're so fit.
Yeah, and I think you got the wrong end of the stick, mate.
I'm wearing Daisy Dukes out there next time because I don't want to buy a drink because that was amazing.
Yeah, I've still got my sweaty booty cut jeans if you want to try and squeeze into them.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll look like Peter Griffin, but it'd be fine.
Roadhouse.
So. Yeah, I'm keen.
Wow.
Fantastic. Just to warn anyone, this podcast will contain plot spoilers. It will contain, I'd say, mild immaturity and foul language, but who knows? So it will contain foul language. If you're not up for foul language, this isn't the podcast for you. If it is and you've got a mucky mind just like us, then carry on listening because you'll enjoy it.
Can I make a quick disclosure?
It depends what you're going to say, mate. If it's going to be a case if you've murdered someone, then this isn't the place.
I've taken one of my sleeping tablets before the pod.
Okay.
And I can feel it already kicking in a little bit. So I'm going to be like woozy. Just roll with it. Just accept it.
So we can make you say stuff then. That's basically it. You're vulnerable.
I honestly so vulnerable.
Kelly, I'll hand it over to you then.
I'll be talking
yeah,
so
it could
much
be interesting.
Shit.
I could have some fun with that.
Because you've got some questions, Steve, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I have a few. I have a bone to pick with you, which is way overdue. But you ruined the fact that I like singing to songs, whether I know the words or not. Because every time I'm singing to a song, singing away to myself in my car, and I don't know the words, I have to stop because you and Stu took the piss out of me on, I can't remember what pod it was now, that you aren't supposed to. There you go. You're not supposed to sing to songs if you don't know the words and just make them up as you go along. You've ruined it for me.
Was it a give it a year, the one where he you're having sex and then
yeah,
face or back. Face. Tits or face, that's it. Yeah,
face. Wrong answer. Oh yeah. No, I'm sorry, Kel, but I stand by it.
You ruined it for me. I've been devastated ever since. And every time you've been on the pod, I've been like, I need to moan at you. I've just forgotten.
And wasn't there a certain biology question?
Well, you said you've had some emails and people want to know if you've worked out where the ovaries are yet.
Yeah, I've had a few emails from the last podcast that you didn't know where the ovaries were.
I know what the ovaries are.
Do you know where they are, though? Where they are, not what they are.
Kind of like just below your belly button way, like a bit further down.
Okay.
Man, that's so... Like... I love that. Just below your belly button, a bit further down, just probably above your knees.
And they're like, and they are like these almost like horns, and at the end they've got the little ovaries at the end, and they come back down the horns and meet in the middle, and that's where everything fun happens.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Not entirely accurate, but it's close enough.
Well, as in they're in the human body, that's it.
Yeah.
I have literally described what I've just Googled image. That's exactly what I just described.
Oh, you had to Google it.
You actually Googled it.
No, I'm Googling it to tell myself that I was right.
Yeah. Okay.
You're right. Amazing.
I'm actually crying.
Oh, that's so good. Because he's starting to learn that he needs the adrenaline to keep him alive, he goes to like a biker gang and he gets some coke. And it, obviously, it's the worst coke ever because it doesn't have any effects. And he starts to have a fight to kick shit out of everyone just to get his adrenaline going. And I thought there was going to kind of be more of this. But I do love the conversations when he's on the phone, Statham is, to Verona. And the way they take the piss out of each other, some of the lines they use to each other, absolutely brilliant.
That's right, we're tight.
You haven't been tight since your brother fucked you in third grade.
And do you know what? He delivers that line really, really well. And the fact that, and I don't know whether it's like, it's not bad acting, but even the fact that Verona just hasn't got a comeback and he's so pissed off of himself that he can't come back on something as good as that. It's such a good line.
You know what that feels like, though, don't you? Because that happens to you quite a lot. You don't know what to come back with.
I know, it's really annoying. I can really have empathy with that frustration he's got because it's
you
really annoying.
When you
got, yeah, someone who's smug like that. So,
mm-hmm.
And I got real Blues Brothers flashbacks when, to get the adrenaline going, because he now knows he needs this adrenaline, when he drives his car through the shopping centre, all I wanted was the Blues Brothers music. And it would have been perfect. But this is just not a patch. And Carol, you wouldn't have seen that scene from the Blues Brothers, would you?
No, I was going to say, I don't get the reference. So
have you seen it, Steve?
Seen what, sorry?
When in the Blues Brothers, when they drive the car through the shopping centre.
No.
Oh, my Lord. You two just have not lived. It's such an iconic scene. The film is so iconic. And it's just brilliant. And this just is not a fucking patch on it. It's terrible. And then he crashes on the fucking escalator somehow and just gets out. It's so over the top, isn't it?
That's irritating because he gets out without a scratch. Not even a little cut of, and to show a bit of blood. Nothing. So it's just ridiculous.
Oh, it's absolute nonsense. It's crap. And somehow he manages to get a taxi and he goes over to see Carlito. And initially, I thought Carlito, he's kind of one of the mob bosses. And I think Carlito was the one who hired Statham to do the hit, first of all. I don't know whether he's going to him for the antidote or to get Verona back. I couldn't really see the point of him being there, could you?
I kind of took it that it was because he wanted to know if there was an antidote and that he, if he had it, if he could get it, where they're like facing up to each other in the pool. He's kind of waiting for something to be offered. It's like there's something missing.
Yeah, because he says he's got to find an antidote to that Chinese shit. And he says there is no antidote. And he smiles at him and he just completely mugs him off. The way Carlito talks is if he's kind of complicit in on this as well, isn't he? That's what impression I got.
Yeah, and he knows he's going to die. So he was surprised to see him, wasn't he? Because he thought he'd already be dead. So he obviously knew what was going to happen or, like you say, was in on it. Or, I don't know, maybe...
It doesn't make sense, Kel, does it?
No, but a lot of the film didn't really make any sense, to be honest with you. Or to me, it didn't. But then I'm not a film buff like you, so there's not a lot of depth to my insight.
Oh, God, you compliment me too much. But one scene, which I think did age this film so much, was when he comes out of the hotel, and obviously he's covered in water, and he's been travelling around by taxi. And the taxi driver won't let him get in the cab.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Yeah, and he just pulls the geezer kind of away from the taxi and chucks him on the floor. And unbelievably, he shouts out, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda.
You're not getting in my cab, wait.
I just gave you $200 to wait for 3 minutes.
You're not getting in my car, no way.
Yeah, you're right, I'm not getting in your cab.
Al-Qaeda! Al-Qaeda!
And this mob, this civilized mob, sitting outside this cafe, just start beating the shit out of him like they've got some kind of fucking serum inside them, and they're crazy. It's such an outdated mental scene, isn't it?
I mean, it's 5 years on from the Twin Towers, and I imagine it was still raw. It's probably a really kind of sensitive subject to broach in a film like this. Any mention of that anywhere in America is going to start a riot, so... But... I didn't find it funny, but maybe that's just because of the time that's now passed.
Yeah, I found it very cheesy line to use. I honestly did. And it's, yeah, for me, it dated the film, as in they use this as humour. It just shows, thankfully, we've moved on since then, but it just kind of showed how ignorant this was that they just chucked that in. But I do like the conversations when he checks in with Doc Miles every now and then and about the epinephrine that he needs to inject himself with. And he just doesn't know what it is. And the fact that they spell it out on the screen, I quite like that. That just makes me chuckle. It's little things like that that I just find amusing. How I don't know if that's just my small brain.
I mean, I can understand why it helps you, you know what's going on, because it's written there for you to see. It literally spells it out for you. So I can see why that appeals to your brain.
Did you get that? Did you get that, Chevy?
Epi something, yeah.
Epinephrine, man. Epi.
Okay, I've got it. I've got to go.
No, I'll call you when I get there.
They go after the brother of Verona. I quite like this scene. He's very unassuming. He's a massive guy, absolutely built like a brick shithouse. And he knows something's going on. And as soon as he walks out the back of this restaurant that he's in, Statham there cuts his hand off. And again, I do like the little one-liners that come out. And I don't know why he somehow got overpowered by a one-armed man. That's the one thing that let me down about this scene. Statham beats the shit out of him, cuts his hand off, and still gets overpowered. It's a sign of weakness. It's embarrassing, isn't it? And then he gets rescued by Kalo, who's got a rolling pin.
That's quite entertaining. I find that quite funny, because he doesn't even know how to hit him with a rolling pin, but it still worked.
Yeah, he chucks it around like a pair of nunchuckers,
doesn't he? He doesn't know what to do with it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's so, so funny. And I did like the fact that Statham picks the hand up that's still attached to the gun, and shoots him in the head. I thought that was very, very good. And poor old Kalo gets covered in all his blood. It's quite a nice violent scene. It needed something, and he's got his phone. Actually, before that, when he calls his brother, they show this Doberman dog, and and it's kind of, the screen is split into boxes. And when you look at the top right-hand one of Verona's face, I was horrified for one split second
as to
what that dog is actually licking. I was concerned.
I thought he was going to wrap that steak around his dick and let the dog.
Yeah, that's what I honestly thought. I thought this film has gone really, really weird. But yeah, thankfully it fucking didn't go that way.
Who is this? Is it Chelios? Is this fucking Chelios?
That's right, bro. I guess I got your brother's cell phone. I can tell you have it all figured out. Looks like you should have cut me up when you had the chance. A necklace. You guys really are faggots, aren't you?
You motherfucker. You fucking motherfucker. My grandfather gave that medallion to my father, and then he... Fuck!
And again, Verona never has any comebacks. there's no fucks given. And I like that. He's just the way he is. And again, when he goes to the hospital, because he tries to get that epinephrine, that he just goes to the front of the desk. And he just can't remember what it's called, can he? And I found this quite good.
Looking for something that starts with E.
England?
Very funny, no. Some kind of artificial adrenaline. E.
Artificial adrenaline?
Yeah. Got heart problems.
Epinephrine.
Yes!
Yeah, I don't understand why he has a mental block with it, though. That's what he's been told enough times.
I could relate with this, because when he was there trying to say it, I was thinking, what is it? What is he meant to be asking for right now? But luckily, our good friend and guardian angel, Chester Bennington, assisted with the nasal spray.
He did indeed. And I wonder if that is true, that nasal spray has epinephrine in it.
We'll find out tomorrow, won't we?
We certainly will do, definitely. But he takes a shitload of nasal spray and is just walking around. And I use nasal spray for hay fever. And man, it makes my eyes water so much. And Statham's such a geezer. He's just walking around the hospital, just one bottle after the other. And he's quite wasteful with it, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't use it properly. And as far as I'm aware, you actually have to spray the stuff up your nose. You can't just sniff it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It is an actual spray.
Yeah, so I don't understand how he just gets it by sniffing it out of the bottle, because I never see him actually spray it.
And it does get really over the top when he runs down a corridor and he's got this geezer's gown on. I don't know why he thought wearing a gown to make a good escape. I really, really don't know.
Why does he have to be naked underneath it? I do not get that.
No, it's maybe he just puts everything into it 100%. I thought you'd enjoy that, to be honest, especially after seeing Swayze's butt. You know,
it's unnecessary, especially if you kept your shoes and socks on. You could have kept your boxers on.
Okay, let's go top three. We seem to have a theme that the film's running. We've got Swayze's butt, we've got Conor McGregor's butt, and we've got Statham's. Go.
McGregor is last, then Statham, and then...
What? Swayze.
Yeah.
What? Steve.
Do you disagree? Is McGregor number one for you then, Steve?
McGregor is number one, and then it's going to be Jason Statham. And then Patrick Swayze, because he's dead and his bum will be bony.
Yeah, but his arse in Roadhouse was not bony.
I'm going to go number one, Patrick Swayze. So he's such a
number
two. Number
two,
I'm going to go Conor McGregor. And then Jason Statham, number three. Just because he's got a really hairy bum crack. The others, obviously,
I
wanks.
I didn't look that closely.
Did you not? You meant this is a film real cast pod. You need to really get up in their grills.
Thank you.
Get up in it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm clearly not dedicated enough.
Frame by frame, Kel. Frame by frame.
Oh, yeah. Also, news on the podcast as well, which is quite interesting. We obviously did our 50 Shades review. And
oh, God, yeah.
We all slated that film. We really all slated it. Secretly, I think someone actually liked it. And on their holiday, whilst on the plane... Out of all of the films, and they did say there's a plethora of films to actually watch.
Oh, there was hundreds of films.
There's hundreds of films. What ones did you choose to watch?
50 Shades Darker, I think it was, the second
one.
There
we go. See? You loved it all along.
No, I didn't, and it didn't get any better. It didn't get any better, which was disappointing.
But Statham even told that he has to inject 10 mil of the epinephrine into his body. Just gets a whole syringe, and he forgets how much. And he injects the whole syringe. And then he goes on one massive fucking rant across the whole city. And again, it gets to one of the funniest parts. I like the dialogue when he's talking to the doctor, and he said, you need to do this, you'll start feeling this way. Is the chest on fire? Check. Feel cold? Check. I like that. Yeah. Good lines being delivered well. And when they look at the news, and they do that drawing photo fit of the guy... looks fucking mental. But Statham's there in the background looking as well. And the way the guy turns around and looks at him, then looks down, and Statham's got the biggest boner in the world. It's fucking brilliant, isn't it?
Well, it would happen, potentially. Yeah. It's just awkward, isn't it, really? You wouldn't stand there like that. You just wouldn't.
But he's off his tits on it, though, isn't he? It's brilliant. I thought that was fucking great. I thought it was so, so funny. It was done really, really well. And then he nicks the motorbike. And again, we get that scene where he's on the motorbike because his adrenaline's going down. And he starts doing stunts, standing up on the bike like bloody Titanic with his arms either side. It is way over the top, but I think you've just got to have fun with it, haven't you?
You kind of just have to roll with it, don't you? Because the whole film up to this point has been ridiculously exaggerated and overacted, and it's just continuing that theme. And it's what else can they fit in that makes him look crazy but get his adrenaline going?
When he rings his girlfriend up, he obviously crashes the bike. And I have to say, his phone ring is very irritating, isn't it?
Yes.
With the phone just as if it's the phone's going to die. Yeah, it's really irritating. But the fact that he gets up from his motorbike accident, he speaks to Eve, and he's really calm because she's just been in bed all day and really chilled out, and he's had the actual morning from fucking hell that just makes me chuckle.
Did you try to call?
It's been home all day.
I was sleeping in.
You're sleeping in? That's great, Eve. Super great. You're rested now.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to hear it. Listen, I've been fatally poisoned. There's probably a psychopath heading over there to torture and kill you as we speak, but don't bother getting out of bed. I'll be there in a flash.
It's done really well. And for some reason, he can't feel pain that much and his skin doesn't burn, because when he goes round Eve's house, because he knows that the gang's going to go and target her because they've said so, that he sticks his hand in a fucking waffle iron for about 10 seconds. That's just, I mean, it is done for effect for his adrenaline, but they could have done something different, couldn't they?
I don't really see what this would gain, because I don't know that it would get your adrenaline going. You would just now not be able to use your hand because you'd have like first degree burns. But then it's never a problem for him after that. The injury just disappears.
No, that's what I was going to say. It never actually comes back to it, does it? That
no.
His hand is kind of like when you see John Wick, when they cut his finger off, his hand is bandaged and it's always referenced. But this one, he sticks his left hand in it and he pushes shitloads of pressure on it, even so much so that the waffle iron kind of shorts out and it's absolutely fine. There's no problems whatsoever. And I don't know if it's meant to have blocked out pain or what it is. And did the scenes work for you, Steve, where they were getting out of the apartment? He hasn't told her what his job is. And he was trying to distract her, and whilst she was collecting everything, but he was kicking fuck out of different people.
Quite a cliche kind of scene where everything's kind of done and dusted before she turns around. People were coming after her, so I guess it had to happen. And obviously you've got the odd bullet flying over her shoulder. So yeah, I feel like it fit with the momentum of the film.
Yeah, I thought it would work for me. I suppose as you say, it's like the continuity of the film. It's the way it's going and it works well. I mean, when he's sitting down at the dinner table with Eve, he then talks about the mission he had to take out Don Kim. You see kind of as he's narrating it, he comes up behind this triad boss with the gun behind him. And he kind of has this epiphany of, I'm not going to kill you. And it's never really explained why. And it's just completely a convenient plot driver, the fact that I'm going to kill you. Actually, no, I've had a sudden thought. I don't know. It's a conscience because he wants to stop killing people. And you have 48 hours to get out of town.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Then, from out of nowhere, this insane idea comes in through the back of my head like a 45 slug at close range. Congratulations.
Did I win something?
Your life, jackass. 100 grand once you're dead, so sooner or later it's gonna happen. But I'm not doing it.
I see.
Instead, you're gonna do something for me. You're gonna get out of town, disappear. I don't care where you go, I don't care what you do, so long as you're invisible for 48 hours.
Why 48 hours? There's no explanation for this, is there?
No, that irritated me. Because you. There is no reason for it. Why, if he's been sent to kill him, why don't you? You kill everyone else, so why have you got a conscience for this guy? He never tells. They never give away his plan.
No, and he says stay out of town for 48 hours and come back. At this time, he doesn't know that he's got the Beijing cocktail injected into him. So there is no plan. He doesn't. It's not like he's even sitting at the table and says to Eve, I had a plan, I've got this much saved, and I was going to leave the country for good and I've got passports and let's go. He hasn't got a plan as far as we know, has he, Steve? He's just made kind of on the hop at the moment.
I perceive this as him being like, you leave for 48 hours, I'll tell my boss that you're dead, collect the money, which was, what, like 100 grand?
Mm.
And then by the time he reappears, old Chevy Chase is gone. He's disappeared. So that's what I drew up of it. Yeah, nothing is said, nothing is explained, and I was hoping for it, but I just came up with that myself because I got frustrated.
No, I think that's probably the best explanation, and I can't wait for the explanations for this part. When they leave the restaurant, Statham's starting to collapse, his adrenaline's going down, and he needs a heart rate lift. So in the middle of this market with onlookers, and when you look at them, I always look in the background, a lot of them do look surprised. He tries to have sex with her, she slaps him, and when she gets on top of him to apologise, they start going for it. And it is a very fucking strange scene, isn't it, this one? They have sex in public with probably about 50, 100 people all around them. She's got one of her boobs out. It's a weird scene. No one stepping in. There's obviously a film crew there. It's so strange, isn't it? It's just bizarre. Why I chuck this in out of everything?
It's just weird. I don't get it at all.
I mean, talk about PDA. You know, this is this is taking it to the limit, isn't it?
You can't really get much more obvious, really, can you?
Is this something you've done, Cal, in the past? Not as hardcore as this, but in public?
In general, have sex in public. There may or may not have been incidents where that's happened.
So you have. You may as well, when anyone, just for reference, says that, they may as well say, yes, I have. Because it's just so obvious.
Just fucking own it, girl. Yeah. Own it.
I'm good with my response, thanks.
Yeah, because it was so discreet. You didn't give anything away.
Well, there you go. I don't need to change anything, do I? If that's the case. Yeah, you got the answer you wanted.
Oh, it's a threesome conversation all over again.
It wasn't the answer I wanted. It was the honest answer. That's what we're always after on the podcast.
We're investigative journalists as well.
Exactly. That's bullshit. You'd never let the reality or the honesty of a situation ruin a good story.
We're cutting edge. Honestly, we are cutting edge. Steve, what about yourself?
What about in public?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Steve's honest.
Good for Thank Steve. You. I'm not. I didn't lie.
You're just a bit of pussy about it.
But halfway through, giving her one, a Kalo rings up and says, I know where Verona is. And it's a bit of a dodgy phone call. And you can see when they split the screen that something isn't right. Statham jumps in the cab and this guy gives him, I don't know if it's equivalent to kind of like, it's Haitian, like hardcore shit, that plant shit. That's the way he describes it. So first of all, I thought it was like amyl nitrate or something, but we don't actually know what it is. But it just sends Statham off his fucking tits, doesn't it?
You take this Haitian shit, Clappy. This shit right here is some hardcore shit. It's made from plant shit.
Well, I think it seemed quite laggy at first. I thought he was getting a bit spacey. I thought he'd been conned.
And then it kind of hits. I would have liked to have seen a cutaway and they showed like Popeye where his muscles grow and he's just suddenly, bang, that is it. I am fucking well up for it. And he goes to the warehouse and we learn that poor Kalo has had a bag over his head and just been fucking killed. I was really gutted about that.
Yeah, that's actually quite sad.
Yeah, and there wasn't really any kind of sadness, any reaction or retribution, like personal retribution from Statham about this. But I do like the fact he goes to the roof and he asks the guy where the Chinese are and who he's working for. And because the bloke stutters an answer, it's great. He chucks him off the roof. And one of the goons is watching down below out the window. And it's just great when he turns his back on the window, just for a split second, you see the guy's body fly by. Again, little bits of comedy like that for me just make me chuckle. A bit of violence. We lacked that last week and we got it this week. We got the violence that I wanted.
What did you do last week?
We did The Perfection last week.
Oh, that's cute.
Good film. So on Netflix. Oh, it's a good film. Horror. It's kind of a horror thriller film. It's good.
Now you tell me what that little toe rag motherfucker is.
But when Statham goes down into the warehouse, it's a bit weird because there's some guy down there, he's from the Mexican cartel. Oh, I don't know whether he's representing all of the cartels, because he basically tells him that he's embarrassing everyone, he's on TV too much. And I think Carlito sends this guy there as one of his hitmen to take Statham out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And again, it's too much chat. If you were a hardcore, like, hitman, you don't come out of all this chat that they tropely do in films. You just fucking shoot him. And he's just about to shoot him, and then Eve turns up because she wants to know for sure whether the story of being a hitman's real, and then you get a massive shootout.
How did she know where he was? Because he got in a taxi on his own.
I know, I wondered that. It was very, very funny.
She just randomly turns up as if she's got a tracker in him or something.
Yeah, it's so fucking convenient. It really, really is. And fucking Statham uses Kano's body as a shield. There's no fucks given, is there?
Well, he is dead, also, so he's got to make him useful.
Oh, yeah. I was a bit fucking sad. I mean,
you would, I think I would probably do the same if it was me or a person who's already dead, but I'm fairly sure that a body wouldn't necessarily stop all the bullets.
No, I don't think at that close range that it would have done. But I did like the fact when he was chased by one of the goons, he put his hand in the sewing machine. And that, oh, man, that must be fucking painful just to get your hand sewed like that. It's all that did make me wince, but that was really good. And then we get the car chase, which leads me to another question. His adrenaline's going down, and then Eve's fully on board. She knows he's a hitman. She's getting quite turned on by that, and they're being chased. And to keep his adrenaline up, that she decides to give him a blowjob whilst driving.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, you're so big.
Oh, my God.
This must have been a line by Statham in this film where she went, oh, you're so big. He must have fucking added that line there.
I think that's the jokes that they were referred to make it funny.
I don't know. But questions asked, he can drive the car, really good stunts, get away whilst having his dick sucked, his driving. First of all, again, Kelly, have you ever done this?
Yes.
Steve, have you ever received this?
Yes.
Does that mean that she's shit at doing it because he's so good at driving while she's doing it?
I don't know. I think they're all different though, aren't they, really? Some feel nice and some feel like, oh, that's wicked. Do that again with your tongue.
So if it was a really good one, surely you wouldn't be able to drive.
Is that what you say?
Did you put that much enthusiasm into it as well? Fantastic.
But yeah, I get what you mean. He's kind of on the ball, and the best he can come up with is, yeah, that's really doing it for me.
Yeah. But
is it? Is it though, Jason?
Mind you, you've just come up with a cork river line, so...
Yeah.
I like to make everyone feel like they're doing a good job.
You're so inspirational. You really are.
Little white lie.
I feel sorry for any of your ex-girlfriends or your current girlfriend if that is all the enthusiasm you can muster when they're giving you a blowjob. It's obviously pretty unsatisfactory.
What should I be doing? You give me some tips. What would you like to hear?
No, you give her the tip. That's the whole point. Maybe you've got it wrong.
Real mature, Kel. Real mature.
Did you expect anything else, be fair?
I would hate to disappoint.
Exactly. I'm sure you've never been criticised and judged as doing that.
I've had no complaints.
So Statham meets Doc Miles, where he learns that because of the amount of adrenaline he's put in his body, that's going to kill him as well as the Bayesian cocktail. So the doc sets up an insulin pump. So, and he says, all I want is 1 hour to live. I don't care. After that, I can die. Just give me that 1 hour. So you know he's going to go on a revenge mission. And then, before he does his revenge mission, he again calls up Verona and massively cunts him off again. And yet again, there is no comeback for Verona. You'd think he would have learned by now to come back with something. But I'm loving these fucking phone calls. I would have happily have had more of these fucking phone calls because they're so, so funny. And the weird thing is, and I don't quite get it, when he's in the lift going up to the building, this is the final shootout. This is like boss level. He's at the top. And he's in the lift with this Asian guy. And for some reason, he's clearly spaced out on drugs. He gets his mum's voice. He gets Verona's voice. I think one of them might be Kalo's voice. And in Eve's voice. What is the point of this padding out? What does this give us apart from fuck all?
Maybe some sort of like bit more to his character. Maybe some guilt for the people that have become involved. Maybe that's the reason why he's wanted to step away from it.
Oh, it's just fucking.
I think you're giving it way too much credit.
Yeah, I got to admit, I think you are. I really, really do. And they get to the top and you've got Carlito there and Verona, and he, and Stephen kind of confirms they are working together. And he takes his insulin pump off him. So really, he's got nothing else going for him. It's the countdown now. And just as you think he's about to die, because he gets, Carlito gets this other cocktail out that he's injecting to him to finally fucking do it. Because they've criticised him all the time that one injection wasn't enough. That Statham then, and I've seen this done in other films, and I can't remember what film it was, that when he gets his finger out and pretends to shoot with his finger, he points at Verona, and Verona's laughing, and then suddenly he shits himself. And you kind of think, why? It's such a shit scene. He's got no gun on him. He's using his finger as like a gun. And he points at Verona, and Verona suddenly stops smiling and shits it. It's just fucking nonsense, isn't it?
I think it just shows the genuine fear, I think, that he has for Chevy. Because he gives it the big phone, but come face to face, he's like, fuck, okay, he's a nutcase.
You're a pussy.
Basically, yeah.
Exactly. And he's just about to inject him. And as in his other film, I will remember it at some point, that people start dying. And then we learn that Don Kim, who is alive and who's meant to be dead, as pointed out by Verona, is there with all his goons. And you get this big fucking shootout at the top of this penthouse. And it's quite a good fun shootout. I mean, everyone kind of has their moment. You get Verona gets his fucking fingers shot off. And it's quite good fun. Even like the young kind of prostitutes who are sat in these balls in their bikinis, they get shot as well. No one misses out, do they?
They've got to share the love, haven't they? Got to make it fair.
And they certainly fucking do that. They really, really do. And I did like the fact was when one of the triads chucked a grenade behind the bar and Carlito grabbed one of his men and froze him on top of it. And the guy goes, thanks, boss.
Look out! Thanks, boss!
Statham has reached his pinnacle. He's in a helicopter with Verona and they have a kind of a fight. And he's got nothing to live for. So all he does is just really, he just grabs Verona and pulls him out of the helicopter. And whilst they're falling, which is, oh my Lord, it's terrible. Whilst they're falling, they have a fight in midair and he breaks Verona's neck. And then Statham's just falling, laying back, looking up. He gets his phone out and calmly rings up Eve and leaves a phone message for her. The special effects are terrible.
Yep.
This is terrible. There's nothing good about this. It's an eye roller. I was bringing up vomit and bile by the bucket load. It's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the worst ending to a film I think I have ever seen. It's shocking. The graphics are crap. The fact he bounces off the car. I mean, why? Why does he bounce off a car? What does this antidote or chemical do to you to make you bounce off it? But yes, it is shite.
I mean, what the fuck did they kind of think? Like, there's other ways to leave it open for someone to kind of say, as he's, I don't know, just beforehand, there is an antidote. And if you need to kind of escape to get the antidote, to fall and bounce off and still be alive. It's like a Tom and Jerry cartoon, isn't it?
Yeah, as I hadn't seen this beforehand, it was going through my mind for the, 10, 20, 30 minutes he was falling. What is going to be this? What is he going to land on? Will it be the typical garbage truck? Will he land in water? But the fact he lands bang on a car like some angry bird, bounces off of it, lands right within the camera shot, and then you hear his heart blink. His heart goes and he blinks. You're like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And that's the trouble. That's what I had. I thought, because I couldn't remember when it was ending. I thought, how is he going to get out of this? What is he going to land on that he's still alive? Yeah, he is. And just looking at Crank 2 High Voltage, it says, just the storyline, Chef Chelios survives a fall from the sky, and it's got sort of. He's in an unknown location, sedated, whilst various Chinese are harvesting his organs. His heart is gone. In an ice chest, a temporary place. Chev escapes knowing that the only name of a guy who's got the ice chest, they only know his name. He calls Doc Miles, who is in this one, an unlicensed cardiologist who tells him he's only got an hour with an artificial heart and he needs to keep it charged Right. So that's why he keeps needing to charge his artificial heart. Sheriff needs to find his own heart and get to the doc for a transplant. He starts the time-limited pursuit of following shadowy figures who are carrying the ice chest. And it's got his girlfriend, who's in it as well, from this first one, Amy Smart. Amy Smart. So it sounds exactly the same. It's got the same people in it. It's just terrible, isn't it? It really is. And for some reason, when you look at the cast, it's got Efren Ramirez, who plays Kalo. He plays Venus in this. And it's got Ricky Verona. It's got all the same characters in it. It's so bizarre.
No, don't do that. That means we'll have to review it.
No, I'll watch it for myself. It's just something out of curiosity, honestly. It won't involve everyone. I wouldn't do that. This, and it does score on IMDb 6.1 out of 10. So I'm going to watch it. I need to, just for out of curiosity. But
also, the second one scores 6.1.
Second one scores 6.1, but I want to know why it's got the same cast in it as the first one and how they're going to work out that he didn't break and shatter every bone in his body. I just need it.
It's how they explain it away.
Yeah, yeah. It's only an hour and a half, so I've wasted so much time of my life anyway that it really won't make a difference. But, Kelly, Crank 2006, tell me about it.
There's not much to tell. It's not great. There's not really much story to it. You don't get invested in the characters or the storyline. The acting is subpar. I wouldn't recommend it, and I'd give it maybe a 1.5 out of 5.
I'm surprised. That's more than I didn't think you'd give it that much.
There you go. I like to keep you on your toes.
Well, you certainly do. I mean, usually you're kind of middle of the road twos. If it's pretty good, it could be a 2.5. And if it's terrible, bang, gets nothing. That's it. But
This Chucky got nothing. This wasn't as bad as Chucky. So, and it wasn't, there were like funny bits in it.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Steve, if you're awake still and you're not drugged and comatosed.
I will give it a 1 out of 5. There were boobs, so naturally that's a 1. But Jason Statham, I think he just did what he does best, and it did work, and he didn't try to be funny, which made it funny. And it was just a quick, fast movie, but it was just lacking a lot. But then again, it was only 12 mil, so you could tell it was a 12 mil movie. So maybe if they invested a bit more, tried to pad it out a bit more and give it a bit more oomph, maybe I'd score it higher. But yeah, I'll just leave it at 1.
Would you recommend this? Are you tempted to watch the second one?
Yeah, I am. I am. I want to know. I want to know how it leads. Just like everything you've just said, I want to know why everyone's still involved and why the Chinese have now got his heart. So I probably will watch it. So I think, Stu, when the day comes where it's just you and me available, we are going to have to record it.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. Do you know what? For all its faults, this film does not take itself serious in any way. And I can honestly say I enjoyed this film. I thought it was good fun, way over the top. And if you just go along with the ride of taking it for what it is, it's just a good laugh. And I like the fact that it doesn't take itself. It tried to take itself serious at some point. You criticize it and rip it to pieces. But at no point does this film do that. And I think it's good fun. And it kind of suckered me in. So much so, as I said, I want to watch the second one. I want to know what happens. And I know what I'm going to be in for. And it's kind of be like, yeah, if I'm on my own, I just want to put it on. I want to have fun. I don't want anyone to criticize me that it's shit because I'll be having fun. So I'd probably give this, I'd still score it low. I'd score it a 2. But I did have a good time. I enjoyed myself more than I thought I would. And I can't criticize. You can't kind of say Statham's acting. It is bad. Don't get me wrong. His acting's bad. But For what it is, for what he's asked to do, it's all right. It really doesn't matter. It's not an Oscar-worthy performance. So, fuck it. It's about fun. And I had fun whilst watching this. So, and that's what films are meant to do. So, I will score it a 2. And I can't wait to watch a second one and talk about it and annoy people because it's good fun. But that is Crank 2006. Check it out and check everything else out that we've done. We've done some real hawkers. We've got the Roadhouse podcast, which, if I do say so myself, are really funny. We had a really good time recording the original 89 and the 2024 one. Jaws as well. We've got The Perfection. We've got The Cult of Chucky. And even the terrible films, we make fun just by ripping the piss out of them. So there's something definitely, definitely for everyone. But we will be back next week. I don't know what we're going to be doing, but we're going to have lots of fun. So make sure you join us. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us feedback. Leave us 5 stars because it gets us noticed. And thank everyone for your support. Kelly, anything from you? Are you enjoying watching all of these films that you never would have watched before?
Yeah, I am, because it is quite entertaining, and some of them are way better than, like, I would have thought. I'm watching things that I would never watch. So yeah, it is good fun, and it's a good piss take out of the ones that are really shit. So I am enjoying it, yes. Thank you for having me.
No, it's great. It's honestly, it's really, really good fun. And I love these kind of films because they are films that you can, it's weird because you do a podcast and you think, right, I want to do Star Wars, then we've got to do Marvel, then we've got to do DC, and I don't know, like Lawrence of Arabia, or all of these massive cult classic films that we will do because obviously we want our education plot for Kelly. But these kind of films are nuggets to do because they're really good fun and there's so much to talk about. And they're ones that when you flick through Netflix on like the titles that come up, you could look at it and just by the cover alone think, fuck that, I'm not going to watch that shit. But we watch them and we talk about them, and that's what makes it so much fun, doesn't it?
We're trained professionals because other people might hurt themselves doing this.
Very well said. Very well said. I mean, we're all very modest. And we don't like to admit that. I'm just like anyone else, to be honest.
I'm not modest. I am fantastic.
But we will leave it there tonight. And thanks, everyone, for joining us. And come back next week where we'll be reviewing another film. All the movie clips and music used in this podcast are the intellectual property rights of the respective copyright holder and used to only enhance your listening experience. And any infringement caused is unintended. Well, that's it now, and we will see you next week.